Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I am your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. I'm joined here by my co-host, Chris Shad. As always, he writes for us here at the Viking Age. Bring me the news and the zone coverage, of course. All right. So the Viking season is over. We lost to the Giants yesterday in the playoffs. First round, out of there. Didn't matter they were playing at home. Didn't matter that they won 13 games. Giants didn't care. They came in, took care of business, and the Vikings are done. The season is done. Got a lot of questions to answer. But first, before we get to that game, Chris, you know, I just wanted to ask you, you know, what are you going to remember most about this season? And you were at the game yesterday. Did anything happen at the game while you were there?
Ludacris played at halftime. That was what he meant. It's super awkward now. Like, guys I listened to in college, you know, there's like older guys like, yeah, I know this song. And I'm like, this is a little awkward.
Didn't T-Pain perform too? They had like Florida and T-Pain. They've had like all mid-2000s like rappers.
Young Gravy, who's from my hometown.
That's Rochester. Right. Okay. He's a little more recent. Okay.
I've never heard a song of his, but I know he's from Rochester, apparently. So there is that. Well, one of the positives, this might be a new memory. I mean, nobody else will remember it. Maybe I might not even remember it correctly either, but I invented a new injury. It's called the hangcussion. It's when you have a hangover and a concussion. And it happens when you slip on a patch of ice and land straight on your head. 0 out of 10. Do not recommend. I actually don't have a concussion, but I was kind of scared that I did, especially, you know, driving around this morning and trying to get back as the rest of Southwest Minnesota turned into an ice skating rink. That was also terrifying. It was quite the weekend getting over to Minneapolis. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I'm sure this time of year up north, it's never a good time to drive, really, regardless of whether it's snowing or not. It's always a good chance of there being ice somewhere. Don't miss those days. It's been raining on and off here in Southern California. I'm sure you've heard all about the wetness in California, and it's finally come down here. It rained like 4 inches yesterday, and I was like, geez. But you know, that's what we have to deal with, rain. It's really scary stuff. I look back at this season, and I there's a lot of positives you can name off or whatever. You know, you got the Bills game, you got the Colts game, you got like, you know, we've mentioned before, Kirk on the plane, you know, beating the Packers to open the season, the Jared Allen Ring of Honor induction. There's a lot of things to look back on fondly. And it was, you know, an enjoyable season. They won 13 games, so they only had 4 losses. But Sunday's loss puts a bad taste in your mouth. And it's fair to not be happy with how the season turned out because of Sunday. The playoffs are what matters. It doesn't matter how many games you win during the season. It doesn't matter what your point differential is during the season. The playoffs matter. And for the Giants, they mattered more than it did for the Vikings. So now the Vikings get to go home. They get to go to ownership and be like, hey, we did what you wanted to do. Maybe now let us do what we want to do and see if we can figure this thing out. So, you know, speaking of kind of ownership and decisions that were made before the season, do you, knowing how the season ended, would you do that again, I guess, next season? Or would you go back? Would you do it again knowing what happened, or would you do more what the Bears did and kind of unload everything and tank?
I think it was tanking. Like, honestly, you are in the same spot that you were at this time a year ago. You basically just spun in place. Now, the Vikings had gone on and won the Super Bowl and everything happened. That's fine. This team was basically the same team it was a year ago, just with a couple more big plays and a couple extra wins. Their points for and points against are pretty much identical to what they are were a year ago. I think their point differential was also the same. Like, it's just one's 13-4, the other is 9-8. So, and you brought back all these veterans, some of them on bigger contracts than they had before, to go and lose in the first round of the playoffs. There is nothing that has changed. And now you're probably in a worse situation because you just burned a year while Chicago reset everything, had their tank year. Now they have the number one pick. They have a shitload of cap space. I'll try not to swear today, by the way. I'm sorry, but I know some people listen to this while they have kids and whatever, so I will try my best. But they have a crap load of cap space right now. Yeah, there you go. They have a ridiculous amount of cap space.
Yep.
And, you know, honestly, looking at them, if they think Bryce Young is anywhere similar to Justin Fields, I'm taking Bryce Young and I'm trading Justin Fields for like a second rounder or whatever. Because that rookie contract, man, get 4 years of that rookie deal, load up your roster and go build a house. That's exactly what the Bears are doing. The Lions are doing it a little bit differently. They got Jared Goff, but they have a couple of first round picks. I think one is in the top 10 because it's the Rams' first round pick.
They could draft someone this year.
Yeah, I mean, they'll get two more impact players to add to a homegrown team. And Dan Campbell, I don't know about his sanity level, but he seems to be a decent football coach.
Yep.
It like the rest of the NFC, even the Packers are like, dude, we can't do this anymore. Like, we need to rebuild. Like, we need to do that. They could get a couple of picks for Aaron Rodgers from the Jets, a team that has draft capital and is basically one player away. Like, it just feels like the Vikings spun, knowing the result, because, I mean, you can go back at any point during the season and be like, the future is bright. The future is bright. And it looked to be bright. But knowing what it is now, they reverted to the team that was 500 for the past couple of years and just didn't do it. I mean, look at it yesterday. Look at Kirk Cousins, 4th and 8. You have 3 options downfield. And I know they were all shaky throws. Kevin O'Connell's play call could have been better in that situation. Kurt Warner has a great breakdown of that play on his Twitter page. So you should go check that out if you haven't seen it yet. But I mean, you know, throw it up. Like, honestly, what do you have to lose at that point? You're doing the same thing if you check it down to TJ Hawkinson. That's the same thing we've had. You know, he goes all the way back to Michigan State and Notre Dame, where, you know, Notre Dame student section was chanting at him, and he threw a game-changing interception and destroyed his whole life. That's like the beginning of his book. Mm-hmm. Like, you have, you know, Harrison Smith just standing in the back, you know, 20 yards off the line of scrimmage, and you're paying him what, $12 million? Like, you are paying premier prices for these players to do nothing. And part of that is the coaching, which we'll get to in a little bit, I'm sure. But part of it is just you trying to hang on to 2017 for dear life. And it was 5 years ago. It's 6 years. Yeah, it was 5 years ago. That's how long the miracle was. Just trying to hold on that feeling, trying to squeeze something out of Eric Kendricks, who ran around. He had freaking cinder blocks on his feet yesterday.
Yeah, was he jogging yesterday?
How long do you want to do this? How long do you want to spin in place? Because everybody else is moving forward and the Vikings are just content to, well, you know, we are super competitive and whatever. You were not super competitive yesterday. Like, you got ran off the damn field.
Yep.
So
by an offense that not that good, you know. They made plays, but they made plays against the Giants, not the Giants, the Vikings defense, which makes, you know, Mike White had over 300 yards passing. Mac Jones had over 400 yards passing, like, you name it. And they make you look like a Hall of Famer out there pretty much this year. I think this game, the result is a good, it's like good evidence to bring to ownership and be like, look, listen, you know, we know you wanted to keep guys around. We did that. but you brought us in to fix things. And if you want us to fix things, you know, you need to let us do things our way. And that means parting ways with some fan favorites. And I'm not even like pointing directly at Kirk Cousins, because I'm smart enough to know that he's probably back next year. There's a very good chance, especially because he has a no trade clause. So if they try to trade him, he can shut it down no matter what. But if your defense is going to be that bad with all those players, go young. Let your young players get reps, you know, load up the offense, try and score as many points as possible. If you're going to be bad on defense, at least have guys, you know, get experience and then be able to have another year where they can come back and be better. Don't have guys like Eric Kendricks back there, Jordan Hicks, Harrison Smith, you know, Patrick Peterson played well this year, but you shouldn't be bringing him back. You got a Caleb Evans, you got Andrew Booth Jr., you got Duke Shelley you can bring back. You know, stay young on defense. I think that's got to be a big influence or a big, you know, decision this offseason, where they need to be young on defense, and they're too old. You know, even Danielle Hunter, like I don't think anyone is safe on the defensive side of the ball, and they shouldn't be, because they were terrible with all those guys out there. Like, I don't care if you're like, Danielle Hunter is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Zadarius Smith, he's great. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter. They couldn't stop anybody. So if you're not going to be able to stop anybody, you might as well give some guys some reps who can actually use them and turn them into something better in the future, instead of paying guys more than you should. You know, use that other money to invest in the offensive side of the ball.
And the one thing that, you know, I mentioned it several times on the show, like, I wish Bill Guerin ran the Vikings right now.
Yeah.
It's like, for those of you who don't speak hockey, the Minnesota Wild were in this same damn situation where they kept running back the same core year after year after year, just hoping they would click, and it never happened. So then Bill Guerin went 1 year, showed ownership, and did exactly what you're talking about. Said, went to Craig Leopold and was like, we can't do this. We can't do this anymore. I need to do my thing in order for this to work. Next thing you know, Zach Parise and Ryan Suter are gone. There's a whole new guard in the locker room. The culture changes automatically with that. And that team's going to be in salary cap hell because of those contracts that Chuck Fletcher doled out, what was it, like 10 years ago at this point? But I mean, they're building towards a better future. Like, once they're out of cap hell, they're going to go out, they're going to get free agents that can make an impact right away. And they have a system in place with young talent. I think the Vikings' young talent is pretty solid right now. I mean, you have a lot of game-changing talent at cornerstone positions. Christian Darrisaw, franchise left tackle. Yep. Brian O'Neill, franchise right tackle. Yep. You have Justin Jefferson, franchise wide receiver. Edge rusher, you need to work on that a little bit. But, I mean, there's a start. There are nice things. Again, I feel like this is like Groundhog Day. This is the same stuff we were talking about 1 year ago. Mm-hmm. And now they're in a worse position than they were a year ago. So the rest of the division is better. So that's what frustrates me.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, a lot of people, I don't like to talk about draft position, because I feel like there's been so many instances where the Vikings and other teams have been able to come up with good picks later in the later rounds. But obviously your chances are better of getting a good player if you go higher. And sometimes they can be bad. Like, you know, Zach Wilson and a couple of those guys that just don't pan out. Even if they are drafted high. But yeah, they need to, they cannot bring people back that have been coming, you know, they've been there for years. Like, Adam Thielen's last 1,000-yard season was 2018. That's 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Like, it's over. He's not that guy. He's got a $20 million cap hit next year. No. Either that has to be reduced if he wants to stick around, or just say see ya. Like, that's stuff that has to be made. And I know ownership's going to be like, oh, I don't know, he's our favorite, and we can't let him go. And it's like, there's going to be other guys. Like, there's going to be other players.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off. I need to talk about this. I need to get my 2 cents out here, because that's it. You know, and you know what? Adam Thielen, great career, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he will be a Ring of Honor guy probably when it's all said and done. I think so. But this is so similar to Kyle Rudolph and how that ended towards the end. Because remember when he showed up with that hoodie that said, got a lot of game left, or whatever it was? Like, Adam Thielen went on PA this morning and said, I still got a lot of football in me, or something similar like that.
Okay.
And like, the other thing is too, and I mean, you know what? If I'm Adam Thielen or any football player, I am trying to cash in as much as I can, because you don't know when you're going to have a season like Adam just did, and the gravy train stops, right?
And it wasn't terrible. I think he still had like 70 catches for 700 yards. And
right.
But that's not worth $20 million.
No, no. And I mean, they're going to sit down on the bargaining table, and I don't know, is like, I'm from Minnesota, like a bargaining chip, or the owners love me or whatever. Like, you know, I'm going to tread carefully, because I know people get upset when we do this, but Adam Thielen's wife posted an Instagram post basically saying goodbye to Minnesota. And that, you know, if we're talking about wild stuff, that is straight Kelly Talbot energy. And again, if you don't follow hockey, here's what happened. Cam Talbot gets benched in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year for Marc-Andre Fleury. Kelly Talbot goes on Instagram once the series is over, just like, peace out, Minnesota, whatever. And the dude still got a year left on his contract. So Bill Guerin sees this and he's just like, what the hell? So he winds up trading him to Ottawa. Like, that, you know, these are the uncomfortable situations the Vikings have to have. They avoided it long enough. They took their one run with a different coach who was all smiley and nice and full of positive energy and had the same speech over and over as a post game or whatever.
So many game balls.
Yeah. So many games. Hey, at least they have their game balls this year. You know, like, we didn't do anything, but I got like 6 game balls last year. Maybe that'll be a contract thing Adam Thielen will try to do. Just be like, look at how many game balls I got last year, man. I got like 10 of them sitting on my mantle. I was something to the team.
My dad just texted me. He said, man of the year for
man of the year. Is man of the year code word for like contract dispute?
I get a bonus, just, right? I get a bonus because I was.
I get a bonus. I'm from Minnesota. I'm the man of the year.
I don't want to poke fun at his charitable endeavor.
No, absolutely. It's cool. He's great.
It's great that he does that.
But yeah.
But it's time to move on. Whether he keeps playing or not, I wouldn't even be surprised if he was like, I'm good. Like, I know he's really into golf. Maybe he's like, I'm going to move down to Florida and become like a pro golfer.
He did say he's 100% playing this morning, though.
Okay. So, well, if someone has to sign him, if he gets released, someone has to sign him.
Right.
Which is, Kyle Rudolph was like, I'm playing too. And it's like,
and if cool. Thielen wants to take a pay cut and stay, I'm totally cool with it. I mean, but I mean, you can't pay him $20 million. You just can't do it.
But then he also can't be the number two guy. Like,
yeah.
Is he going to be able to come back and not be that? He's got to realize that role. Too. Yeah. He can't be crying on the sidelines that he's not getting the ball, because, you know, that was happening. Like, and he had 4 or 5 targets in the fourth quarter against the Giants. Justin Jefferson had 0.
Right.
That is inexcusable. I don't care if Justin Jefferson has 4 people on him. That is a better chance of making a play than if you throw it to Adam Thielen. So
I can think of one target he should have had, but okay.
Just one. Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah. It's just they got to make some, you know, they are quote unquote tough decisions, but decisions that probably should have been made a year ago. And I think, I honestly think that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah wanted to make some of these decisions last year, but ownership was just like, nah, we think it was just Mike Zimmer. It was all his fault. So we're going to see if we can roll ahead with this, you know, this regime. And they didn't do any better. They didn't, they didn't win any more playoff games than Mike Zimmer did during his tenure. So it's just, Groundhog's Day all over again with this team, these players. Like, we just need something different to root for, whether that's the quarterback. I will say this about Kirk Cousins. I just think it's time to start to put a plan in place to move on for him. Like I said, I already think he's going to be back next season. Mm-hmm. And whether you bring in someone new in the draft or free agency or trade someone this year or in 2024, like, you got to start setting, you know, things in place for that to happen, because he's going to be 35 next year. The only two quarterbacks to lead their team to a Super Bowl since 2011 who were 35 or older, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I'm sorry, Kirk Cousins is not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Those are the only two quarterbacks that have been able to do that. So, like, history says, now's the time to, you know, get things moving. You know, do not give him an extension. Do not give him more money. Unless he's like, I'm going to sign the 5-year extension, waive my no trade clause, and, you know, give you guys lots of cap space. But he's not going
to
do that. So.
And even then, do you want to do that? Yeah. Do you want to lock yourself into age 39 Kirk Cousins? Like, his season would be a lot more encouraging if he was 25 years old. Like,
take
great steps in the locker room. He kind of showed more trust in Justin Jefferson.
He's been in the league for 11 years.
Exactly. This is who he is. And again, on that 4th-and-8 play, the real Kirk came out. Just, I'm going to check it down. I can't throw a pick.
And I know his numbers were good yesterday. He played well. He had a good PFF grade. But this is like the story of his whole career where, like, he's got great stats. Like, that's, I've seen a lot of people be like, look at these numbers. Look at his stats. It doesn't matter. I don't care if he throws 30 interceptions. If he can't win the playoffs, like, it doesn't matter what his numbers are. It means nothing. Like, and we were all excited this year because his numbers were kind of down, but they were winning. That's what we wanted. That's all we wanted the whole time. Like, just don't care at all. Like, if you're going to, this play could be picked. Like, that's what he said about the last plays. Like, I didn't like the look I had with Justin. It's Justin Jefferson.
I'm not comfortable throwing to Justin Jefferson. On what planet does that make sense?
Come on.
Yes.
Like he would have so much less, you know, people harping on him today if he just threw to Justin Jefferson. And even if it was incomplete, people would have been like, okay, whatever. He threw it past the sticks. He was trying to get it to Jefferson, his best player. Okay. They lost. Whatever. Kirk Cousins can't win the playoffs. Fine. That's great. You still get that narrative. But now it's just like same old Kirk Cousins. He checked down on 4th-and-8, like 4th in the season. And he checked down.
Yes.
And like... He played so much better this year, so much with Kevin O'Connell, and another year in the offense, he'll probably play well again next year. But you have to start thinking about the future. Like, you have to start putting those pieces in place to get ready for the future. All right, let's just talk about some things from yesterday. They lost to the Giants. We talked about that. 31-24. Their only one score loss of the season. Terrible timing for that. Maybe don't do that in the winner go home situation. The defense was terrible. It's been terrible all season long. That was probably the biggest reason why they lost yesterday. They couldn't stop anything at all. Ed Donatell, the guy that's been in charge of that. A lot of people are assuming he's gone, but you never know. How would your opinion change of Kevin O'Connell if he kept Ed Donatell around as the defensive coordinator for next season?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I don't even know. I know that PA was also on this morning, kind of, he didn't say Ed Donatell by name, but he was kind of hinting, you know, not really his fault. And also there's kind of a rumblings that I heard that Mike Pettine's the one who's actually been running the defense, and Ed Donatell's been the fall guy. So,
okay. They get rid of them both.
My biggest problem is that they did not play to their players' strengths. They played to Za'Darius Smith's strength. Like that was the one player that they utilized properly this season. But like Harrison Smith, like that dude looked like he was going to fight every reporter in that room after the game. He was furious, and he should be, because they're having him stand back, play cover two, and he's never coming in. Brett Coleman, a YouTuber, does a lot of great NFL videos. He did a great breakdown on what happened with the Vikings defense and why they're had so many issues. Yeah. A, they're predictable. B, they don't put their players in good spots. Like Danielle Hunter, that's another, you know, feather.
Drop into coverage on third and one. Great idea with Danielle Hunter.
Right. Have him get after the quarterback. And that's another thing. It's just like, why are you trying to fit square pegs in round holes?
Yeah.
Like that's another reason you should probably just trade him if you're going to keep doing this. Excuse me. Like it just make it make sense. Make it make sense. That's all I'm asking. And you also have the guy who's like got the, you know, Ed Donatell looks like he's ready for the early bird dinner. Like he's just kind of like, I don't know, guys. It's a skeet. You're going to like the way we play defense. Did we really?
Just talking to the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, it just, when you make Daniel Jones, I can't remember what it was. I got to look it up. Somebody sent me this via text, but Daniel Jones
became the first quarterback to do something like rushing and passing.
Let's see. Jones became the first quarterback in NFL history to have 300 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and at least 70 rushing yards in a playoff game. Daniel Jones should send Ed Donatell. If he gets a contract from the Giants, he should send him a fruit basket every year until he croaks, because like he just made millions of dollars off that start. Ed Donatell, play it back, guys. Can't have anybody. Like, they had an 11-minute drive. 11 minutes.
Hey, they only got a field goal, though.
Points in the yard. Your offense can't score if it doesn't have the damn ball.
Bend, don't break. Bend, don't break. Just bend a whole lot. But it broke yesterday. So,
like, good God. Like, I think they have to make a change. Like, it makes no sense to sit there and just try and make it work. And I know, you know, maybe in hindsight, you can him after the Detroit game and just say, Ed, this isn't working, but we're trying to be the anti-Zimmer and the nice and, you know, we love everybody and collaboration and all that stuff. It's like, no, dude, win games, figure out ways to win. And Ed Donatell is not giving you a way to win. Of course, you got to replace him. There's probably a lot of options. I think they're waiting on Brandon Staley. That is what I have heard.
Sounds like he's coming back. Sounds like he's staying in.
Well, Dean Spanos doesn't want to pay out his contract because he's one of the cheapest owners in all sports.
Oh, I live in San Diego. I know all about Dean Spanos.
Do you know the relocation clause in the player's contract? You've heard that story, right?
No.
So when they moved from San Diego to Los Angeles, there was a provision in each player's contract that if they made the move and they moved the practice facility by like 100 miles, they would get like some kind of relocation bonus. You know, help him out.
Yeah.
You want to know how far Spanos built the facility from the old one?
101 miles.
98.9 miles.
It sounds about right. You should have seen the stadium that, you know, I got here in like 2017, 20. When was the miracle? I was here for the miracle.
2017.
Okay. Yeah. It was probably the summer before then, maybe 2016. I got here and the stadium was just garbage. There were Super Bowls played in that old Chargers stadium, and you wouldn't think it going in there with like, they had TVs from like the 80s in there as the Jumbotron is from the 70s. Like, they didn't do anything to that stadium. They wanted a new stadium. They didn't want to pay for it. So they didn't get what they wanted and they went to LA.
California is remarkable. For like, not like I go to a game here at US Bank Stadium or like Target Field and it's super clean and everything. You go to a stadium in California, it's like, there's like, I don't care. Like, I went to
Petco.
Petco is awesome.
Petco is good.
There are exceptions. I'm not saying there aren't exceptions.
I'm sure. But what's like, the Rams stadium now? That's pretty nice.
Exquisite, but
yeah,
like the Oakland A's Coliseum, like where the Raiders used to play. Like, we went to a A's game and we sat down, and somebody, like, so first of all, the seat was like tilted like this. It was like kitty corner, and like somebody had ripped off the armrest, which I assume somebody probably used it like a shank during a Raiders game or something.
Sure.
And just tried to like stick an opposing fan or something. Yeah. But it's quite remarkable. What were we talking about? Defense.
You got that. You got Dodger Stadium. That's kind of run down too. You had the old Candlestick. That wasn't that great. They're getting better. They just built the San Diego State new stadium out here too, so they're moving on up. Who do you think deserves the second most blame for Sunday's game behind Donatel?
Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
Okay. That play calling. Oh,
not Kirk. You didn't want to bash Kirk. Come on, it's your perfect opportunity.
Oh, I've already bashed Kirk, and I think Kirk played well for about 90% of that game until the last two drives when he checked down and went blue screen of death. Like, you know, it just. Third and one. Third. Mm-hmm. Let's not even like put like game situation, whatever. It's third and one. I got an idea. Let's throw it to Kirk Cousins.
I'll throw him off.
What? In what freaking world does that make sense? Again, it's just like he can't help himself. He tries to galaxy brains like, I'm this offensive genius. You know what would have really been a good idea? Handing it to Dalvin Cook and having him run up the middle.
Which, QB by the sneak would have been fine.
Yes. I mean, speaking of which, Dalvin Cook's another veteran that will probably be a focal point of discussion this offseason. Yeah. But it just – Why half the thing, even like the last second to last drive, they have the three and out, they go back to back screens. It's like you need points. Like, stop getting cute, throw it down the field. Maybe that was it. Kirk was just programmed with the screens. He's like, oh, you were doing this. Okay.
You can go to pretty much every loss that the Vikings had this year, and Kevin O'Connell made a handful of mistakes, questionable calls, where you're like, all right, I can, this guy's a rookie head coach. And it came through. There were other times where he made awesome play calls. And I think he made more awesome play calls than he did bad play calls. So that's something good to look forward to going ahead into the future. But he made some two screens on the second to last drive when screens have been terrible for them all year long. That fourth and eight play, like, why do you even give Kirk the option to throw to Hockenson short of the sticks? No one should have ran short of the stick. And if they did, it should have been 1 yard and you could fall backwards and get the first down. That wasn't a play call. He seems to like outsmart himself. He's a smart guy. I think he's a good play caller for the most part, but sometimes these guys think like, oh, this will like throw him off. I'll throw it to the quarterback who runs like a 5.5 40 and they won't see it coming. And then the Giants were like, okay, cool. We'll just catch up to him and make sure he doesn't go anywhere because he's Kirk Cousins. Like if that was the Giants and they threw to Daniel Jones, then I'd be like, oh yeah, that's a great decision because Daniel Jones is an underrated scrambler. Not even underrated. He's a good scrambler. That was weird. And I think third to blame, probably gotta go Kirk Cousins, even though he played well.
Yeah.
Like
just that one play really.
And he's, you know, I know the Giants defense puts bracket coverage or whatever on Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins is pretty much the guy who decides whether to take Justin Jefferson out of the game or not. Like you can throw to him when he's covered. He's probably going to, you know, 50-50, maybe not. It could be more than that. With Justin Jefferson, it should be more than that. Like don't take him out of the game. He's your best player. Don't not throw to him in the fourth quarter. Come on. Right. Like this, your season's on the line. I know TJ Hockenson has been super reliable and he played well yesterday too, but Justin Jefferson is an all world player, once in a generation type of player. And you're just like, nah, I'm going to try and find Thielen and KJ Osborne and Hockenson.
But that's what you're supposed to do if you're Kirk Cousins. Like, if you force feed it into cover, like, that's risky. What happened in Philadelphia. I know it's risky. You got to take a risk every once in a while because he's Justin Jefferson, right? And he should have had a touchdown. Although there was some weird, like, there were some expedited reviews where it's like, Vikings got a first down. No, they didn't. New York. Oh, yeah. No. The ball start. That was weird in the stadium, too, because I thought it was a false start and the play was dead. And then all of a sudden, like, they're lining up for the extra point. I'm like, what? But.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that. That stuff bothers me so much. Like, those, you can be penalized for moving a centimeter on the offensive line, and it can change the game. But like, how much of an impact does that really have on the outcome of a play if Darrisaw moves half an inch? Like,
right.
I know it's a game of inches or whatever, and like little things matter. And that does not matter.
And I'm not blaming the officials. Like, I'm not saying they were the reason the Vikings lost.
They were fine
like,
yesterday.
They were just a couple of weird things where it was just like, huh?
It was weird, but like, I think it's because it was like really the only game that was being played. New York could put all their focus into there, and they could just be like, boom, 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 boom. Like, because there were a couple times where the announcing, you were watching it, or you weren't watching it, you were watching it live, so you didn't have the announce team listening to them. And there were a couple of times where like, oh, is he going to challenge this? I think he's going to challenge it. And then the refs were like, after discussion, we figured it out. And it's like, oh, because New York is in your ear. And they're like, yeah, he didn't catch it. So it's like, because if there were six other games going on, you probably would have to challenge it. But because it was the only game going on, I think they were able to put all their focus in and do that. I kind of like that better. Like,
yeah.
And because it was quick. It wasn't like they're like, we need to review this. It's going to take 10 minutes. It was like pretty boom, boom, boom process. So I didn't have too much of a problem with that. I like that, actually. So last question about this game. Are the Giants good?
No. No, they're not. They're not. I mean, they have some good players, but no.
Got a good coach. Good coach.
They have a very good coach. But I say no. I mean, they're going to get blast. If they go into Philadelphia and they beat the Eagles, I will eat my words. But
I could see them doing that.
And I could see that happening too. But yeah. I mean, I just don't think they're good. I'm sorry. That might be sour grapes. Yeah. But I mean, Daniel Jones isn't as good as he looked yesterday. That Ed Donatell defense, just keep playing back. I mean,
Isaiah Hodgins, he's a future all pro.
I don't think the Giants won the game yesterday. The Vikings lost it. Like, that's the way I see the game playing out, because they made so many dumb decisions. They played that lackadaisical defense for a bad term. It just,
no turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what they banked on all year.
What did I tell you? The Vikings will lose if what happens. And I said, they don't get any turnovers. Well, that's what they've been.
Or you're playing 10 yards back. Like, it's hard to get a turnover. They're open from the snap.
All right. Real quick before we get out of here, let's do a quick look at the 2023 offseason, since it starts now for the Vikings. Just in your opinion, off the top of your head, who are some players, coaches, whatever, who's got to go?
Well, obviously Ed Donatell, because we've talked about that a little bit.
Yep.
I was trying to figure something out.
No, that's fine.
Ed Donatell definitely needs to go.
Kendrick
absolutely has to go. I think Eric Kendricks. Again, another guy great in the community, great in the locker room leader, but it's time.
I'll tell you why he's got to go. He frees up $9.5 million if you
that too.
There you go.
That too. I think Danielle Hunter is gone. I think he's getting, I could see him staying, but
his contract, I
mean, they need draft picks, man.
They would have to trade him.
Four draft picks.
They could trade him.
Yeah.
They could do that.
I think the Bears got a second and a sixth for Khalil Mack. So maybe you get something a little more for Hunter since he's 29. This is going to be like his last. They need to figure out something with him, because he sits down and goes, I want Joey Bosa money. You go, can't do it. Can't do it because you don't have any cap room. So that's the thing. I think Dalvin Cook's got to go too. I think it's over there. He was one of the worst running backs in terms of success rate this year. I don't think he was like the absolute worst, but he was pretty bad where, it's just boom or bust. He doesn't have that explosiveness that made him such a good back. Again, another player, maybe you discuss him as a potential Ring of Honor guy in a couple of years, but I mean, he also only had four straight 1,000-yard seasons. So
I think he's third or not.
Yeah.
He's like the fourth running back to rush to have 4,000 yards. It's like Peterson, Foreman, Robert Smith, and Dalvin Cook. That's good company.
Hey, AP was at the game yesterday, by the way.
He was. Is that a sign that he's finally giving up his NFL dreams of playing until he's, 50 or whatever?
Yeah, maybe. Huge pop, though.
Oh, yeah. We knew that was coming. I agree. I think a lot of the focus has to be on the defense side of the ball. I think Kendrick's got to be gone. Jordan Hicks got to be gone. Delvin Tomlinson is a free agent. He's getting older.
I think you bring him back if you can figure it out.
I just want to go young. They don't have a lot of money. And I think you need to figure out other ways to use that besides a defensive tackle, because they're already spending money on Harrison Phillips too. I wouldn't bring back Patrick Peterson. Yeah, I wouldn't bring back Patrick Peterson. I know he played well, but you got Caleb Evans, Andrew Booth, Duke Shelley, Cameron Dantzler even. Harrison Smith, maybe, if you can figure, like, he wasn't terrible, but you could tell that he regressed this year. He didn't regress as much as a Thielen or a Kendricks, but yeah. I think Za'Darius Smith is an interesting one because he started off so well and then did nothing the second half of the year. And I know he was dealing with an injury or whatever, but that's an interesting one to maybe take a look at, because I think they might be able to get out of his deal sooner than later. Irv Smith's a free agent. Don't bring him back. Because he can't catch. Alexander Madison's a free agent. Don't bring him back. Garrett Bradbury is an interesting one. If they can bring him back for like on a 2-year deal, like
reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. He made good strides this year, and he's still young enough where I feel like you could salvage his career. Adam Thielen, see ya. Dalvin Cook, I think, is one where maybe you can maybe pull some strings with his contract and maybe move it kind of like an Anthony Barr situation where, like, you make the decision to happen next year and not this year, because I think he can still help that offense a little bit. And Ed Donatell. And I would look at whoever the defensive backs coach is, because
that didn't turn out too well this year. Yeah.
Like they weren't that good. So they got some serious decisions to make. So I think a lot of fan favorites will probably be gone. They should be gone. If not, I'm not gonna be too thrilled. Like, and this isn't like a knock on any of those guys either. I want to make that clear. Like, it's just time. It's part of football. It's the business. Like, you gotta do what's best for your team. It's not about like making everyone happy, because if you do that, then nothing good is really gonna come out of it. Kirk Cousins. I kind of mentioned this before with my opinion, but what do we do with him? Do you extend him, or do you begin the exit process by either drafting, trading for a younger QB with more upside? Trey Lance. Nah, I don't know.
You don't this, have this year or next year. Though.
Yeah, I know. The Rams didn't, and they traded everything away, but Kwesi doesn't want to go full Rams. Sherry said that, right?
And you don't want to deal like you're 20. I mean, if you're a team in that situation too, do you really want like a 2027 first round pick or whatever? Like, you might not be there in 2027 if you have like a top five pick.
I say Trey Lance because I think, I don't know if it would take a first round pick to get him. I know they don't have their second round because they gave it for Hockenson, but like, he's a Minnesota kid, so he's still young and upside. And I feel like,
is he going to be the next Adam Thielen? Like Trey Lance, well, he's from Minnesota, man.
I don't know. Like, if he gets with O'Connell, I feel like he would put him in better situations than Shanahan would, where Shanahan would just kind of put him out to dry. Like, I know he's a scrambling quarterback, but he's got a good arm too. And I think O'Connell would put him in better situations. So I feel like that's something to watch, because if you're the Niners, why would you not go with Brock Purdy? He is so cheap.
Yeah.
So cheap. So I don't
know. Even if he sucks next year, you just say, okay, then you trade for one the following year.
So you wouldn't extend Kirk either.
I think they will, though. They're 1 year.
Another
same thing they did last year.
You got to get rid of the no trade clause. You got to get rid of that.
Right.
If he wants an extension, you got to get rid of that.
Yeah, that can't happen again. But I think they'll cite him, you know, being a locker room leader and all that stuff. And oh boy, like, I would love it if they traded up for Anthony Richardson and just developed him behind Kirk for a year and let him go in 2020. Like, same thing they did with Dante, because Anthony Richardson is a house and he's got a bazooka for an arm.
Yeah.
And under a rookie contract.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft, or supposedly.
Tell me Will Levis.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying anything about anyone. I haven't watched enough film. I don't watch college football, and I have to like actually watch film and stuff on these guys to actually know if they're good or not. And I still don't know if they're good or not. So I got no opinion.
Google Will Levis bananas and get back to me.
I know that the Alabama quarterback is pretty small.
Yes,
that's all I really know about this year's quarterback class. And Will Levis eats like bananas with the peels.
Brown bananas. Mayonnaise in his coffee.
That's all I know about him. Yeah. So I guess. Does that fit in Minnesota? I don't really.
Mayo coffee is not a thing up here.
No. didn't know that was a thing. So yeah, you really do think they're going to extend him? I don't know.
I mean, 1 year extension. That's how he rolls.
He's going to be 35.
He's going to go in there and he goes, well, you know, I led you to a 13-win season.
No, Justin Jefferson did. Okay. Like,
yes,
that's what Kansas
City should be. You have to pay both. You have to pay both if you do that.
Well, you pay Jefferson this year, and his cap hit won't affect your cap until 2024. Because if you're smart about it, and they have, you know, Brzezinski, who's the cap wizard. Any surprise departures this offseason? I mentioned Za'Darius Smith. I feel like that might be a surprise. But is there anyone else you could see? Maybe like they're like, we'll see you later. Would Harrison Smith be a surprise
departure? Yeah, I could see Harrison Smith might be it, because like I said, they just don't use him like Harrison Smith, and he's got like a $20 million, you know, cap hit. So if you're not going to use him in the box and blitzing and all that stuff, what's the point?
Yeah, can you imagine him on like the Chiefs? He'd be, give him 2 years or something, try and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
he could do that.
Yep, I could see that happening.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah, I mentioned Za'Darius Smith. I think Danielle Hunter, like I said before, I don't think anyone's safe on this defense. They were the worst defense in the league. Why should anyone be safe? Like, it doesn't matter if you're one of the best pass rushers or you're great on PFF is great. You couldn't stop anyone. It doesn't matter. So I think anyone's up for grabs as far as being gone this offseason. And what needs to be the Vikings' top priority this offseason?
Signing Justin Jefferson. I think that needs to be it, because...
Yeah.
And he already said, if they want me here, I'll sign here. So, I mean, it shouldn't be too hard.
They do want you. They do want you.
Yeah, if they do not, I have serious questions.
Sources say.
Yes, Vikings interested in long-term extension.
Yeah.
No, signing Justin Jefferson, I think that's number one with a bullet. And the other priority is fix this cap situation. Like, I've mentioned this analogy a couple of times before, where it's like, you know, Mickey Mouse and Fantasia, right? You got Rob Brzezinski, and he's like, you know, Mickey Mouse is playing with the water and it's like going back and forth. Well, eventually the waves get too high and he drowns and he wakes up and his boss is pissed off and ready to fire him. Like, that's basically what's happening right now. They need to get their cap situation right. It might mean that they have a 6-win season next year, which is not out of the realm of possibilities.
Guess what? They'll have the same amount of playoff wins that they had this year.
Yes.
So, but they'll have a better draft pick. They'll have more cap space and their future should be brighter. I do think that Kevin O'Connell should make people feel optimistic about their future. I think he's a good coach and they got that right. And hopefully he's able to continue his success. I'm curious to see Kwesi's second draft, see any corrections he might make compared to last year. I'm curious to see like how his first draft class comes back and performs. Lewis Cine, is he going to have a role next year? Andrew Booth, is that Ingram going to make, you know, steps in the right direction? Is it Caleb Evans going to come back and be better? Like, there's still some optimistic things to be excited about for that defense. Lastly, did you see Cameron Bynum got an all-pro vote?
No.
Yeah, he did. For the second team, but someone voted for him for the all-pro team. I they might have pressed the wrong button.
Yeah.
But I saw that and I was like, what? But Ryan Wright got Nova. So that's a travesty. He's a good rookie, by the way, Ryan Wright. All right.
Keyshawn Nixon getting all pro kick returner is funny to me too. It's like not anybody else, not many in the league, huh? Because he only did it for half the season.
Yeah, and his only touchdown was against the Vikings. People were ragging on like Cordell Patterson for being the kick returner on like the NFLPA all pro team. But yeah, he had a touchdown on like 8 returns. So
yes. it's a dead art.
It is. Kanaan Wongwu tried to return a kick yesterday with no shoe on. So yeah, it is what it is. All right, let's get out of here. Let's go watch that Bucks and Cowboys Monday night playoff game. Winner gets to be creamed by the Niners next week. So
exciting.
Yeah. Till next time. Well, first off, subscribe to the channel here on YouTube if you're watching. Like the video. Follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And the audio version of the podcast will be available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcast. But until next time, Chris and I talk to you later.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink.
which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.